Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Masque Nada, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Another Parisian win for Solskjaer and Chelsea didn't concede. It's Wednesday, 21st of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
Hi, everybody. It's the middle of the week and we're feeling good, aren't we, chaps?
I'm feeling over the damn moon.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Manchester United fan there. Vitushan Ihantaraja. What about that win in Paris, Peter? It's easy peasy for Manchester United in that city, isn't it?
After the Lord Mayor Shaw for Tuchel. He's like, oh, I got there, sod it. Yeah. I've done my job.
Oh, well, I nearly won it.
Take the foot off the gas. Yeah, it was an odd kind of forward, backward. Yeah, tennis match, wasn't it?
Did Gary Neville say to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after, "How long do you want in your contract extension? Where do you want your 3 points?" Mm.
You know, like Ernest Hemingway, the Fitzgeralds, Salvador Dali. Mm-hmm. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does his best work in Paris.
Yes,
he is an artist. Isn't he?
It's very, very true. Is this good in the long run for Manchester United, Vish? Because we're now in this area with Manchester United where Solskjaer is probably not going to deliver them a league title, you wouldn't think, but he can produce the odd good result here and there, especially when the chat seems to be when they play better teams, they can hit teams on the break and so on and blah, blah, blah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
would you have rather lost?
Well, you know, it was obviously after the weekend and the result against Newcastle, this was quite a heartening result. And I think, you know, at a time when the country is in disarray,
brings us together.
People can take satisfaction from the joy of a privately educated southerner who supports Manchester United. I really think that is a binding force for good. I mean, this has always been one of the pros for Solskjaer, is that he can set up a team against
Paris Saint-Germain specifically.
But more dominant teams as well. And that is a bit easier, isn't it? When you know that someone's going to dictate the play, your plan is to react to what they do rather than set the pace, which is obviously something that he and other new managers struggle with. Is it good in the long run? I don't really know. In terms of the individual performances, like Swan Zabi coming back and playing the way he did.
He was excellent.
That's a bonus. and just generally the feel around the team, Scott McTominay and Fred in particular, who did a sterling job at the base of that midfield. Yeah, I mean, for the next month, it's quite good.
They're giving it a whole month, though.
Yeah, I'll give it a month.
Just at the end of October or 4 weeks?
4 weeks, into December, yeah. We're going to see in the Christmas decorations, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But you said Axel Tuanzebe was amazing in that match, from playing against Colchester
to
Marseille Mbappe. I mean, incredible. You talk about, you know, if Man United leave the Premier League and leave the league set up and they want to get rid of the League Cup, obviously.
Good luck to them, is what I say.
How will your players get to cut their teeth against the might of Colchester, against the U's?
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, that is the biggest concern about the European Premier League, of course. But we'll come on to that in the second half, of course. Where will Manchester United youngsters be developed, Fish? But it was a good win for Manchester United. David De Gea made it. Dave the Save was back.
He was.
Dave the Save.
Martial was the only player who looked like he was going to beat him that night as well.
What on earth is that about?
I don't know.
Don't close your eyes before a simple header where you're not being challenged that much. My goodness, it's rule number one, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe he just thought, maybe he was just about self-belief. He was like, if I head it and wish really hard. Uh-huh. Imagine what I could do then. And he goes, yeah.
You mentioned Scott McTominay. Apparently, he played the whole of the first half with one of his contacts out.
Oh, that's difficult. Was it in his eyeball?
No, it fell out.
Why could they not just run over to the sideline and get another one? That's like an injury, isn't it?
I don't know.
Not being able to see.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that.
Mm.
It'd be great if we looked at his passing accuracy and it's through the roof. His issue was that he's relies too much on his natural depth perception, which is off.
Yeah.
He's like a Jedi footballer. Yeah.
He needs bifocals.
Yeah. He keeps putting his foot out to control it. It's going under his foot. What's going on here? Marcus Rashford, gentlemen. It's always nice to have a Marcus in there. What a pile driver, Vish. Come on!
I love it. In America, they call it a worm digger, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, yeah, ball that goes along the grass floor.
Daisy cutter is quite a nice one.
Well, I prefer worm digger. I want some violence in my shots.
Both are fine.
Yeah.
It was so close to becoming a miss kick. Is that fair? It was that good. It was on that knife's edge where 1 centimetre further away from the ball and it would have been an air shot.
That's what I said.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Probably think Marcus Rashford is not helping the child obesity problem now, don't you? I thought it was, he had a similar shot, do you remember? Like a little bit further out, which was tipped around the post. Mm. And yeah, that whole move, United were so quick in their decision-making and their passing. It was really impressive, especially that late in the game.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But what did you think, Vish, of the Man United set up? Because people were saying they weren't just counter-attacking, they were actually pressing PSG. To just say, oh, it was just a counter-attack, they soak up the pressure and hit on the break, which is a perfectly fine way to win a football match, by the way. Mm. But there was a little more to the Manchester United's performance than that, to give them credit.
Yeah, I suppose we should start by making note that PSG had some absentees. As Tom Williams put it, they were without Marquinhos, Bernat, Verratti, Paredes, Icardi, and a discernible playing philosophy, which is always going to help.
I don't feel sorry for them, by the way.
No, you should. They're so lovely, aren't they? I think there were signs at the end of that Newcastle game, actually, the way that, you know, the goals came about, that it felt a little bit more than just, you know, hitting a team who were tired on the break. They did seem to have that kind of confidence to join up and want to play. Mm-hmm. And they managed to carry it through to this game, and fair play to them, yeah.
They play against Pereira every week. Have a lovely time. It's ragged.
What did you think of Bruno Fernandes' penalty business, Peter? Obviously, you know, he missed one against Newcastle, but that can happen.
Injured Carl Darlow. Exactly. Was he injured at that point? I don't know. He seemed to be injured all the match, it seemed.
Well, he made a good save from the penalty from Bruno Fernandes. But that's Carl Darlow. You put him in a different category, of course. but he missed one, and he was quite fortunate to get the retake. That sort of jumpy penalty. Is him and Jorginho the ones that leap to mind?
Well,
no pun intended, by the way.
Well, he got rid of it, obviously, at the weekend, and he got sussed out. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It is a bit of a lottery when you have a footballer that talented and goalkeepers that talented. I'm talking nonsense. I don't even know what's going on.
All right, talk to me about Manchester United's third kit, then.
I'd usually ask to edit that out. I'm not going to. Because you know what you get with me? A person who starts in the middle of a sentence and tries to work his way out like a hedge maze.
I want you to talk to me about Manchester United's third kit, then.
Have we not spoken at length about this monstrosity, this kind of zebra monstrosity?
Not while we've been in the same room. You're a man who likes a garish football kit, and it's fair to say.
I don't mind it. It's a nice kind of Juve Newcastle vom in it.
Yeah, it's a bit... I'd forgotten about it.
Right.
And then it sort of popped up, and I was like, why? Because you know, you have those kind of pre-match shirts now that are essentially like kits, and you have to buy them and all that kind of. You don't have to buy anything, of course. spend your money as you will. But I thought, oh, they haven't taken that one off. And then it was like, oh, no, that is the kit, isn't it?
Yeah. It looks like they've kind of sent the file by WeTransfer and something's gone wrong in the upload.
Yes.
The JPEG's become kind of corrupted. Bit, mm-hmm. And they're like, they're styling it out. Yeah, oh, no, I definitely sent it. I would never send things incorrectly.
It's very true.
It's fine.
Last night, Rio Ferdinand was talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and thinks that Big Ole is frustrated with Manchester United board after not landing key signings. I mean, how much more money do they want to spend, Fish? You know.
Well, you know, to fix problems that you've created by overspending, you must spend more. So
it's like I'm a hedge maze. Spend you out of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, we're basically in the middle of a hedge maze, uh-huh. And we need a more effective chainsaw.
Yeah. Mm.
So, I mean, I totally understand. We should airdrop a chain. I mean, that's dangerous, isn't it, airdropping a chainsaw?
Yes.
But if you gave, well, first, Kevlar gloves so we can catch the chainsaw.
I'd love to see you in the middle of a hedge maze catching, with your Kevlar gloves, a running chainsaw.
Kevlar,
incredible.
Kevlar Keegan. that sounds like some kind of action hero, doesn't it?
Kevlar Keegan, yeah.
It is interesting, though, because of all the signings that United have wanted to make and of all the problems they wanted to throw money at, mm-hmm. centre-back wasn't one of them, despite the protestations of many people. And you realise with Twanzabe, that's why. Because he was someone that Mark Critchley has written in The Independent today about kind of his journey over the last few years. Every manager has come in and done... Mm-hmm. Well, and basically, like, wanted to push him into the first team, essentially. Mm. Van Gaal named him in the squad. Mourinho was quite keen on him.
Now Solskjaer needs his lifeboats.
Yeah, exactly.
Grab anything. Hey, look over there.
but the one stat above all else, and you know, he's been out for 10 months, he had various different injuries. The one stat that I'm going to throw at you now is that on a pre-season tour in, mm-hmm. in 2018, mm-hmm. he set a Guinness World Record by taking just 17.36 seconds to win a game of Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Right.
And that is a man we want as the
gobbling up those balls.
Yes,
if there's ever a multi-ball situation, mm-hmm. he will not be confused. He'll just be concentrating on the ball closest to the hippo, effectively.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could say, you know, you want record breakers in your team and so on and so on.
You do, yeah. You just want hungry hippos. You want a team of hungry hippos.
So I read this. What was he playing other people, or was he just gobbling up an entire arena of balls himself?
I think you've got to do it yourself, aren't you? I think the record is doing it yourself.
Right. But so they're just, how do you get the balls to come closer to you if they're not being rebounded by the other hippos?
Maybe you need the momentum of, because it becomes a bit like snooker, doesn't it? Like
you got to bounce it off the wall yourself. Interesting.
Well,
kind of.
I found it fascinating. But as loath as I am to go back to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, then Manchester United, the chat is, you know, how long will he be in the job? Will he last the season? But that's been happening really for most of his reign there. But the good news is, though, because we know Manchester United, you know, they like to employ their own kind of thing. You know. Well, I don't know whether this is relevant or not, but Paul Scholes won his first game as Salford City boss 3-0 versus Southend. Could that be, I don't know, Vish?
Do you think that's the part of the, I suppose, the ladder?
He's on the
top job.
3-0 is good against anybody.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, if you forfeit a game, you lose it 3-0.
It's a damning scoreline.
Yeah, embarrassing. Southend.
Do we need more Paul Scholes? He's cemented his career as someone who certainly later in his career respected as one of the greatest midfielders who ever played the game.
Yeah,
he's made all of his money.
Yes.
Do we need him in punditry or management?
I'd like to see him at management level. Just
why?
I don't know. I just for some
reason I
think
he's quite underwhelming with his opinions.
I just think,
and if he's doing that in the dressing room.
Yeah, but at least he's doing it in the dressing room and we don't need to be privy to that.
Yeah,
good point.
If he was a pundit, he'd be everywhere, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point, Vish.
Uh-huh.
Because I was thinking about it, like Frank Lampard, I know we're going to talk about Chelsea in a bit, but you know, Frank Lampard's not a manager, he's a pundit. So you've got to be wary of where you have these people.
Well, let's move on to Chelsea then. It was their first goalless draw under Frank Lampard. He was purring after the game when he was asked about this. He's like, clean sheet, you know, just what you wanted. He was like smiling, going, yeah, it was good, wasn't it? And then he was like, oh, yeah, we didn't score. So, yeah, no, it was... but, I mean, credit to them, you know, because...
It's Frank's first goalless draw.
Exactly, if that's
going to bump Thiago right out. Get out! I did not manage Chelsea to correct clean sheets. unmuddied goal nets.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Sevilla, you know, the Europa League champions, blah, 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 blah. I mean, Jim and I predicted goals in this game yesterday. I mean, it would be a foolish person not to have done such a thing, but it turns out we were foolish because it was goalless. Frank, this is a damning statistic for English managers. Frank Lampard joins Sir Bobby Robson as the only other Englishman to have managed two Champions League campaigns.
Give it Sam. Give it Sam to the end of the season.
Oh, dearie me. Not too good. But what did you make of Chelsea? Eduard Mendy had a decent game in goal.
He calmed everyone down, didn't he?
He did calm everyone down.
I think that's what you need.
Well, Luke was saying, Pete, that if you've got Kepa in goal, he kind of guarantees a goal for the opposition. So it was crucial to have Mendy in there for the clean sheet.
Well, you got Cech. on the bench in the Premier League, apparently.
Yeah, Peter Cech named as one of four goalkeepers in Chelsea's Premier League squad, and he retired at the end of the 2019 season.
I like 18-19. It.
There's been a spate of this sort of older goalkeepers. We saw this in the international break. Was it Ukraine had a 45-year-old on the bench? Yeah, there was another side, I forget who.
It's Mike Hooper-esque.
Yeah, it's sort of... It's quite in vogue. I'm quite enjoying it. Because then there's no chance of them playing, but it's just nice to see, in footballing terms, an older man
on the bench. It's like a Hall of Fame. It's like a little Hall of Fame on the bench.
I suppose it is, yeah. but what did you make of the game, Vish? Are you worried about Chelsea in attack? Because it seemed to be...
The top-heavy troops.
It seemed to be they needed to completely surrender their attacking threat to get this clean sheet.
They spent a lot of money on a very short blanket.
Yeah, you can't even roll in it. That's the best thing to do in a blanket. Turn yourself into a little quesadilla. I don't know why there's cheese in there.
Oh, dear. Get on with it.
I'd love to see Mitch in a quesadilla covered in cheese.
I don't know. Done? I really want something to eat. after Saturday's game, when they were previewing the Bayern Munich, they were previewing this game, and they were talking about the two legs against Bayern Munich. Lampard was saying that one of the benefits of the way that, obviously he's going to transmit a positive, but one of the benefits of how they were schooled by Bayern Munich was that it was a maturing process for those younger players. And that with this introduction of... I mean, Timo Werner and Kai Havertz, they're not actually experienced players. Yeah. Neither is... I know Pulisic played last year, but... But with that added quality, he felt like they could kind of all grow and learn together. And obviously you've got someone like Thiago Silva who's going to come in and be a bit of a wiser head, especially in the Champions League format. So I think, I think the first 0-0 is quite an important thing, and especially the way they did it. I don't think there was any real, Campos had that chance, didn't he, quite early on, but they're all pretty solid, and it's the first game of the group stages. I think they'd be pretty satisfied with that. That felt like something to build on, especially given how bad they were at the back on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. Did you see former Chelsea man Samuel Eto'o was irked by France Football Magazine? Did you see this?
No.
That France Football Magazine are doing this thing where it's kind of like an ultimate kind of UEFA 11. And they've got sort of plays and, a list of goalkeepers, whittle it down to one, various positions. There's only a few English players in there. I think Gordon Banks, Bobby Moore, David Beckham was in there, Kevin Keegan, and Steven Gerrard. I think off the top of my head, they were the five Englishmen. Kenny Dalglish and Ryan Giggs were in there as well for the Scots and the Welsh. And Samuel Eto'o he wasn't put in the strikers category. He put in the right wingers.
Oh, right.
And he was very unhappy with this, and he tweeted, "Thank you, but UEFA, but I played 1 to 2 seasons on the right brackets, yet I have 25 years of career as a centre forward. The lack of respect, France football, whatever."
If he was playing now, even during his time, he was, he would come in from wide, wouldn't he? When he was at Barcelona, they'd play him.
You're thinking of Inter, Samuel Eto'o, when they won the treble under Mourinho, and he was playing on the right. But he was very much a centre forward, especially for Barcelona in that three as well.
Yeah, and I think I'm also thinking of the goals where he comes.
Are you disrespecting him as well?
No, I wouldn't dream of it. I was going to say I didn't know where
three goals for Everton. Go fuck.
I didn't know where that was going, but I would say that he is one of the more underrated players. Yeah, I don't think people actually appreciate how damn good he was.
If we spent maybe 3 or 4 years later at Barcelona, I think he would be way more respected than he is, and people would talk about him a lot more.
I think you have a point there, but he played in Pep Guardiola's most successful season at Barcelona. Yeah. He was absolutely phenomenal. And then won the Champions League. He won the treble with Inter, playing on the right wing. So get him in there, ladies and gentlemen. If you're voting for this team, vote for Samueletto on the right wing.
Just to annoy him.
Make sure you tweet him as well. But yes, it was enjoyable to have the Champions League back, of course. Although outside of the Champions League, I actually thought the goal of the night came from Lewis Ferguson at Pittodrie. Did you see this goal?
Pittodrie. I did, because you mentioned it.
Yeah, I sent it round to the group. If you haven't seen this, ladies and gentlemen, check out Aberdeen 4, Hamilton 2.
Stead hit.
It was a beauty.
It was one of the few WhatsApp forwards from Marcus that you can actually open in public.
Yeah.
Public? Did you go outside? I've got one, everybody!
It's not even the images. It's the other moving videos. Can you kind of hide that? Sometimes the sound. It's very sexually aggressive WhatsApp forwards.
You, of all people, Pete Donaldson, are going to join in on this crappy joke that Vish has
brought. It's the drawings.
I wouldn't even call them drawings. They're more scratchings, aren't they?
Yeah.
Things he scratched into his wall in his garden.
Back in a moment.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now then, it's time for this.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, or Marcus can read it out. Well done.
It's time for emails, everybody.
It is from Stephen Harrison in Taiwan. Following on from an email last week regarding Taiwan and its suitability for hosting a major tournament, I feel it is my duty to let you know about the Copa America Taiwan. It's just confusing. come on, guys. a two-day tournament that took place over the weekend. After much anger, disgust and lobbying to get us removed, Team GB were allowed to fill one of the invitational spots, mainly because we were quick on making the payment. That's all it takes nowadays in 2020. The tournament had 13 teams, mostly from Latin America, with Spain, France, Team GB and Eswatini allowed the invitational spots. I've heard of them. The tournament concluded late on Sunday night with a free-flowing France taking on a Team GB team that genuinely only met each other for the first time on Saturday morning, with a circle of introduction consisting of our preferred position. And a fun fact, the final ended 0-0, which meant it immediately went to a sudden death penalty shootout. We only went and won the ruddy tournament, and we beat all of those are the Slugs.
Yes.
As we didn't know each other or style of play, we just fell into a very British two banks of four and hunting and packs.
Oh, it works.
Classic
Southgate.
Old school British football spoiling the party. I've attached some pictures and links of the news articles, but we all know the best acclaim will come from our friends at the Ramble. Football came home. Stephen Harrison, a.k.a. the first goal scorer for the UK in a Copa America tournament ever. Confusing sentence to read, Vish.
But very enjoyable.
And I love the fact that the only reason he sent the email is because he scored the first goal.
Yes.
So that's incredible, actually. I love that. I'd love to be part of something like that.
I would as well.
Love Taiwan. I'm bang on. I've been once. It's great. Uh-huh. Big fan of that place.
Well, food team's incredible, apparently.
Hmm?
The food team.
Food.
Taiwan,
oh, mate.
Yeah,
doesn't street market.
Me.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
It's like the best of, like, the chaos of China, mm-hmm. run by the officiousness of Japan.
Really?
With fewer forms. I mean, historically, that's kind of how it went.
Yeah.
Let's make that very clear.
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on that issue?
Well, let me tell you, I've got a few things about Chinese Taipei. Oh, God. Let's get out of it.
Pete just in the middle of this market being like, this is brilliant. Why has no one done this before? How did this come about?
You guys remind me of... You've just... Yeah, okay. Well, I think after this whole sort of pandemic situation is that we'll see you there,
yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, for the next Copa America, where I will become the second goal scorer. blah, blah, blah. I have an email here from Ustav Srivastava in Toronto, Canada, for those who don't know where Toronto is. Hello, Ramblers. Love the show. With Petacek's inclusion in the Chelsea squad as a COVID backup, not sure he would describe himself as that, but okay. Yeah. It got me thinking that perhaps clubs should be allowed to have five retired players as a part of their squad who train separately and can play if some squad members are hit by COVID. They have to be retired, and club legends, to keep it simple, let's say they have to have played for the club. Which club do you think would do best in such a situation? Manchester United would be strong.
Yeah, Manchester United would be strong. I suppose they're going to be like travelling masters teams, aren't they?
Mm.
So Liverpool would be quite good.
Pete, you'd love a bit of this.
Chelsea could. Well, Newcastle. No, Chelsea would probably do quite well.
You'd have to have someone who's not long retired.
Yeah, because Chelsea players invariably head off to, well, Sami Eto'o he came back from Turkey, didn't he? Either way.
He went around the world. He became a bit of a journeyman. But, oh, yeah, he's still got a lot of magic in those legs. I think of Frank Lampard.
Yeah. Yeah, good point, yeah.
Big Frank, bring himself on.
When Tesla. You see Premier League years and they've got player managers and the managers are in their shorts.
Yes.
But in their playing shorts, that's always good.
Yeah, nice. That is enjoyable.
Get your legs out, Frank.
it was a captain. What was... Robson's nickname at Borough.
Brian Robson.
Wasn't it? Captain Marvel, Captain Fantastic, wasn't it? Captain something or other, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. Remember.
Captain America.
I think he's been retired.
He's been retired for quite a while.
It'd be an odd nickname, wouldn't it? Especially with his injury record and not being from that country. But,
Mr. Universe. Why are you calling yourself Mr. Universe? Brian, you mental.
Oh, dearie me.
It's just when he went, what was Robson's nickname at Middlesbrough? Brian Robson. That's very Roy Keane. Roy Keane, what could we call you? Roy Keane.
Royston.
Big Roy. Big Roy. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we now... well, that was the emails, by the way. Go on then, let's have it again.
Just email show.
Just to hang on to the emails for a brief moment longer, we have had some emails from people from the United States of America saying that it sounds like when you say, "Oh, Marcus," we'll be reading it. It sounds like my kids.
My kids. Yeah. Or my babies.
Are you saying Marcus or my kids? Because when I first heard that jingle, I listened very carefully. I thought, if I know Pete Dalton, he'll have missed at least one of us out here.
So rude.
Yeah.
So rude.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody pointed that on Twitter that I'd missed, Andy out. And I clearly haven't.
No, you've got Andy.
No, I've got Andy.
But did you miss me out for your kids?
Well, you're one of his kids, you included.
Are you prioritising your kids over me again?
I've watched you play fives and elevens, Marcus, and I regard both of your legs as my kids.
Yeah, okay.
My babies.
Yeah, I call them your pupils. So you've taught me everything I know. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about this European Premier League business. Yeah, sources have told the BBC that the plan is in its early stages, but of course it's for a European Premier League to replace the Champions League. Now, I've read about this. I'm sure many people have. Fish, I'm struggling to see, what are the downsides of this?
I don't think there are any, really. No. When you think about it, the game has struggled because the rich have to, you know, continue to play in the muck with the rest. And I think this is a great way of just ring-fencing the game for the better. Really.
So it's like a hot shower, isn't it?
It is.
Hot shower and a reset.
You know, sometimes when you switch on a shower, you get cold water first, and that's quite annoying. You might have to
let it run. It's shocking, yeah.
Imagine knowing that every time you switch on a tap, you're getting hot, moneyed water.
Yes.
And it's a perfect, you know, and I think
powered by Gazprom.
Yeah.
Gas.
Yeah. Showering yourself in Gazprom and oil, probably.
Yeah.
You know, all I would say is they should do what they want to do, and I'm willing to back them if they need a hand with anything, banners or whatever.
And I speak for the whole of the Football Ramble, all 12 years of its history and the ongoing 13. Success it's enjoying. We are on board with projects. Europa Premier League.
Yes. Yeah.
We are on board. There are no drawbacks. Yeah. And we are in on the continent. Premier League starts next week.
And as the unofficial spokesman for the European Superpower League, all I would say is come and have a go if you think you're rich enough.
Yeah, absolutely right. And Pete, what would you say to those people moaning about, you know, clubs might kind of sort of disappear and it might kind of be bad for those lower down the pyramid?
Look, when you've got an organisation like FIFA saying it's boring.
Mm-hmm. No, UEFA said that. FIFA just dismissed
FIFA it. FIFA said it was boring.
Oh, did they? Okay.
FIFA's also said it's boring.
Yeah.
And they are currently in negotiations to redesign the Club World Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
So they would know, wouldn't they? They would know what's boring. So I'm very much for our new European Super Club Super Lords.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear. What is this shit? What's the matter with these people? I just, when you wave, I basically just turn around and just go, what's the idea? Boring. Oh, my goodness.
It's just fucking children, isn't it? It's like that. It's if you gave a child, you know, like
a copy of Keynote,
Pro Evo, and be like, just like mess around, like do whatever you want, move the players to wherever you want, and just jack up all the players' stats and make your own little league. This is what they'd come up with.
Well, Neymar's got to have a purple afro.
you've got everything, all your stats are on 99, all your players are 7 feet tall, you score with goal kicks.
Yeah.
You do realize
he's called penis.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, all right, it was fun for the first 10 seconds. Yeah. Now, can you just, do you not realize this is crap?
Pro Evo on the PC won't allow me to type in my own name. It says that it's offensive. I can't figure out why.
You're like Pete
Donaldson. What part of that?
You've joined that list. You know that list of people that, like, sort of former world leaders that did terrible things and certain celebrities that you can't put their names in.
Idi Amin, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, I don't know how
I can't figure out. If anyone's got any ideas why the words. I know why I am offensive,
but
I don't know why my name is offensive.
I sent them a few emails.
You sent them a few emails.
A little word to the
Konami.
Wise.
Yeah.
Another one of his forwards.
Pete sent me this. What do you think? He does look like Pete as well. You're absolutely right. But it is just another lookalike. Mm. Yes, the European Premier League. 18 top sides taking part with playoffs at the end to find an overall winner. I mean, it sounds...
shit. Oh. Endlessly shit.
But nobody gets relegated. It's supposedly backed by a lot of money from JP Morgan. I think
why wouldn't, look, if you've got a bag full of money, I would throw all of my money behind this. Because look,
would you?
1992, all of the, this happened. Mm. This has happened before. The High Court ruled this is allowed to be happening.
It's not quite the
same
as this.
This is allowed to be happening. I think it's quite similar.
I understand it was a small step towards this, but it is a far cry different from what is being proposed.
Why
with this
flights are cheaper nowadays?
yeah.
Television,
hotels.
The internet wasn't around then, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I mean, remember? Do you remember?
You asked for the turning, by the way, aren't you?
Oh, look. As I said, we would have a European Premier League show within days. Sorted out. But like back when in 92, and I'm laying this solely at the feet of one person and one person alone.
Rick Perry.
Greg fucking Dyke.
Oh, Greg Dyke.
Greg Dyke,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was in charge of ITV mm-hmm. when they didn't get the rights.
Yeah.
When the Premier League was formed and Murdoch stepped in with his beast guy.
He's an unprotective Dyke, isn't he?
He really is. And he and obviously his work at the FA, and I am calling it work, with his idea for Premier League B teams being shoved in at a lower level and stuff. You could argue this is all his chickens have come home to roost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are other people involved.
Yeah,
but it was nice to sit here, you stick the boot into the Dyke.
Don't
but,
like Greg Dyke.
But Chief Executive of the Football Supporters Association, Kevin Miles, said the latest reports of plots allegedly involving Manchester United and Liverpool to create a European Super League expose the myth that the billionaire owners care about the English football pyramid or indeed anything other than their own greed. Go on, Miles. Love that. He's a good guy.
When was that ever not the case? I think the fact that we even kept up with that facade or that people still some point believe that.
But do you not think he's maybe referring to Project Big Picture there about, oh, we'll give you, you know, $250 million to sort out your problems. Yeah, we do care. We don't care. We fooled you.
But no one bought that. And the reason why this is, you know, this threat has existed for a long time now, and the reason it has existed for a long time is because it's been a useful bargaining chip in any kind of negotiations, because the people running English football know that this is a very real possibility. Mm-hmm. And actually, every season we have, we step that little bit closer to it, especially when you see that the number of super clubs that exist within England alone.
Well, they talk about six, obviously, going over there, which is more than any other league around Europe. There's reports that apparently, allegedly, Real Madrid are up for it. You can see how, what's his name, Agnelli, the Juventus owner, has spoken about these things before. Because, you know, Juventus have dominated their league. I don't know what Bayern would say about this as well, but you can see those teams, as they see the Premier League. You know, some people have written about it and they see the riches that can be made there. And realistically, in Serie A, they're probably not going to, not for a number of years anyway, you know, never know in you know, with the market and so on. But I know this is going to sound a bit sort of naive and silly, but I was actually slightly heartened by UEFA's response, and it was just so firm. I mean, obviously they have their own monetary interests as well, so again, I don't want to sound too naive, but it was just the way the culture, the footballing landscape exists here in this way. There is relegation, there's promotion, there's all these kind of things. You don't want to turn this into a sort of, I suppose, NFL, to sound sort of quite lazy comparison kind of thing. But do you think this is just the next move in a negotiation with the aim of greater Premier League power? Do you think that's ultimately what this is?
I mean, maybe.
I suppose the argument against that would be the fact that, you know, you're bringing along other European sides, you know.
I suppose, but I mean, we will definitely see this come to form in our lifetime. I don't. This isn't something that's going to go away.
You don't have to look so excited about that, Man United.
Well, I just heard about this new show.
I'm just doing a show just on Basaksehir here.
They're not involved.
Something
special. Probably will be. They've got money. Well, that's true.
Something special for the Patreon subscribers, perhaps. So one of the things, you know, Kevin Miles was saying there about the latest reports of plots. Big teams are always talking to each other. Mm-hmm. When it came out that Manchester United and Liverpool were behind, the Project Big Picture.
They're friends all along.
But
they're friends like PlayStation Plus.
I know. This is getting a bit too tinfoil hat here, but you know when you see those shows that talk about the shows about power and political power, and then slowly, you know, you move up to the very top, and you realise that those two people.
It's Greg Dyke.
Yeah, but there are discussions ongoing.
Of course,
because. You know, there is always that, you know, cross party talks that exist at the highest level, and this is absolutely no different. All these teams are in cahoots because they all want the same thing.
Because you realise how pragmatic you need to be if you're at the top and you want, you know, your aims and your
exactly.
It's the Mar-a-Lago of football, classy. Money,
bang on, yeah. Photo, you know, badly painted drawings of each other on the walls
that they've siphoned off from a charity.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to see it. I'm telling you now, we're going to see it, okay, and hopefully not in the next 10 years. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I
call us JP.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we have to say that this was You know, this is just in its infancy, these sort of ideas. And I mean, I found it interesting that La Liga president Javier Tebas dismissed the idea, saying the authors of that idea, if they really exist, because they're
done by AI. This idea.
Just, is that what it is? It's some sort of machine that just churns out these ideas, you know?
It's fucking Homer Simpson's car, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's,
I think it is.
It's a Mad Lib that's gone wrong.
Well, he said, this is the president of La Liga, he said that if they really exist, because there is nobody actually defending it. But there are people who are pushing it forward. They show a total ignorance of the organisation and customs of European and world football. Apparently JP Morgan declined to comment. But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hope that the game of football manages to defend itself from these nasty peoples. Shall we finish, gentlemen, with something far more uplifting, far more upbeat in all senses of the word? The week in which Pelé turns 80, he has decided to release a song, which is called Listen to the Old Man.
Oh.
Have you heard this? I've been listening to it all morning.
You've been listening to it longer than all morning.
It's a belter. It's an absolute... I challenge anybody to listen to the Old Man by Pelé and Mexican duo Rodrigo y Gabriela and just try not to crack a smile.
I don't think
not to feel a little bit better about the world.
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's not Vin Diesel's dance song, is it?
I've not heard that.
It's obscene.
Yeah, okay. Obscene?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, say again.
Jeremy Renner.
Yes, Jeremy Renner. He's got form in...
Has he done a song?
Yeah, he's one of those, he didn't take the hint that he was the worst Avenger. and thought, well, I'll just ride this, and he released an album, and it was dreadful. Yeah,
he says the worst Avenger. Hard. I mean, he didn't write that part; he just accepted it.
Well, that's his own fault, then. Mm. You know,
yeah.
If I told you to be a little shit bloke with arrows, would you do it? No. Mm. I mean, you've got more credibility about
all
yourself.
I need is the arrows.
But I think this is one of those things where, like, because an 80-year-old did it, we're like, oh, it's pretty good. Yeah. Oh, actually, it's really good.
I'll put it on the fridge.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he's got quite a it sounds like he sang it like 20 years ago, because his voice doesn't sound that old.
Well, he wrote it in 2005, apparently.
Right.
Which I feel a bit...
wrote it.
That's what he said.
Right.
Does Pelé ever lie?
Pound not Pelé.
Oh, don't say that. But you don't
was this
that.
When the erection money was dying out?
That's I feel a bit sad, because we could have been boogieing to that for the last 15 years, but better late than never. Better late than never. He said, I've written many books. Anybody read any of them?
No.
I've scored many goals. He has. According to him, many, many, many goals.
Many, many, many
but
goals.
But we do know he scored many goals. Wow. I've fathered children. I've no doubt about that. I've planted many trees.
That's the same as the children.
That's the euphemism he uses.
Involves a seed. The only thing that's lacking is a musical memento of my life. He has starred in a film, of course, that we reviewed, that dreadful film. So now he's got the full set, which is quite good. Now the song is basically about using, I think it's black magic, to curse the opposition into mistakes, which is what a former manager of his, I think at Santos, he was saying, used to say. That if they lost the game, it was always the player's fault. But if they won the game, he said, oh, you know, the spell I put on the sort of opposition worked or some nonsense. But Pelé did clarify, and he said, obviously, black magic doesn't work with this. Mm. So don't bother trying it on Sunday morning this weekend, listeners. But one lyric does say, cast a spell on the goalie of the opposing team. The goalie will be off his game. He'll have a howler. But he's making fun of it. I didn't know Pelé could be so satirical, Vish. It's quite a pleasing development.
Again, as Pete said, Pelé, do you reckon he wrote that line?
Well, Pelé said, I didn't want the public to make the comparison between Pelé the composer and Pelé the footballer. Were we ever in danger of making that comparison? That would have been a huge injustice. In football, my talent was a gift from God. Music was just for fun. Well, I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It is a very fun song, Listen to the Old Man. I thoroughly recommend it. And I give it 4 Pelé's out of 5.
Nice.
I want this to turn into some kind of hip-hop diss track back and forth between him and
Maradona. Oh, Maradona's definitely going to release a song by the end of the year after this. He's done what? Right.
Or just like write a scathing review on Pitchfork or something.
Maradona's Reddit page. Maradona must have been involved in a song somewhere, surely.
Oh, he must have had songs written about him.
No, oh, definitely. But as in, I can't think off the top of my head if he's been involved in a song.
I imagine he enjoys the same rock and roll trappings.
No, I think he's more I think Maradona would be more like cumbia kind of reggaeton kind of beats.
Right, okay.
Pelé's mentioned in a few hip hop tracks. He's mentioned in Ghetto Superstar by Praz, and he's mentioned in a Lupe Fiasco song, which I can't remember right now. But he's got quite a few areas. So presumably Maradona's referenced in quite a few different songs.
You'd expect so, wouldn't you?
Whenever I hear Ghetto Superstar, just the bass line.
A little bit more to finish.
I think it just goes up and down.
And there it is. Ba-dum-ba-dum-dum-ba-dum.
The least talented Fugees as well.
Who's the other guy in that tank?
Oh, dear. Well, very pleasing indeed. So Pelé turns 80 this week.
Cool.
Many happy returns.
And that is the score. And
are you going to buy the single, Peter?
Probably not.
I would. If you remember that advert.
Yeah.
Anyway, ladies,
I'm
going to
download it illegally.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
And far up Napster.
LimeWire.
LimeWire.
Get on the old LimeWire.
BearShare. What was that one?
BearShare. I'm going to play it on Winamp. Really kicks the llama's ass.
You can find it on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. It's perfectly safe to do so. There we are. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to my dears on tomorrow's show, Kate, Pete, and Andy. So get your ears around that. Until then, thank you very much, Vituja Nahantaraja.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Peter Donaldson.
I would.
Thank you very much, listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.